347-3487. That's 347-3487. Curtis Gunsmithing of Petoskey.
There's a hard moon rising on the streets tonight. There's a reckless feeling in your heart.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Second half hour of our history lesson discussion today with Pastor Chatfield here on this Friday, July 18th, 2025 edition. So during the break, I got a couple of text messages and I got a couple of thoughts myself, Pastor Chatfield. Starting out the questions, first of all, when you mentioned Austria along with Germany as being basically who the world went to war against, us obviously joining, you know, people like Russia, that's a pretty interesting thought that we were actually with Russia on this and many other countries, European countries surrounding Germany and Austria. Was this because Hitler was Austrian? He wasn't German. And a lot of people don't know that. But was this basically the precursor of the alliances between him and Austrian coming into power in Germany? Was World War One kind of a precursor for leading to Hitler then in later in the 1930s and leading into World War Two? Is that where that dynamic was set up?
Yes. In other words, a series of events, tick, 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 brought that to pass. Let me clarify again, though. Remember this. In World War One, we were the three powers, the Triple Entente, Great Britain, France, Russia. Now, World War Two is different. Great Britain, France, Soviet Union. But France fell out of the war very quickly. Yes, there was some free French and a few ships, but France was taken over in 1940. Pretty quickly, just a 3 or 4 weeks. I mean, nobody expected that. So let's differentiate. And then in 1917, near the end of the World War One, that's when the Russian Revolution was occurring, and you had the rise of the Bolsheviks and Lenin. And when he got power, he pulled Russia out of the war, and that allowed Germany to throw all their forces to the Western Front, thinking they thought they could overrun France, and they were close. They were within 60 miles. That's when, at that time, was when they also declared the resumption of unrestricted submarine warfare. And that's what really brought us into World War One, the United States. In other words, we had said they had sunk the Lusitania with a bunch of Americans on board earlier in the war, and we said, hey, you can't do that. And they said, okay, we'll back off. But when Russia had the revolution, and Lenin took over, Germany made the calculation that they could throw all their men to the Western Front and get to Paris before the full force of American power would be thrown into the Allies. And they were close, but they did not make it, obviously. So Germany lost the war. When Germany lost World War One, there was never a treaty that Germany that really... United States never signed that treaty. The Treaty of Versailles was never ratified by the United States Senate. All we did was we had a ceasefire, an armistice. And that day in November 11th, I think it is, became what we now call Veterans Day. We never signed a peace treaty just because that's a history lesson in of itself.
Okay. Sure, sure.
The whole notion of a League of Nations, we were not going to join it. And so without the United States' support of the Treaty of Versailles, it didn't hold. In the end, it didn't hold. Germany kept violating it. Nobody did anything about it. That is the way it is. Now, at the beginning of World War II, I hope I'm not confusing people. At the beginning of World War II, I think it was in August of 1939, Germany and the Soviet Union signed in non-aggression pact. Didn't make them an alliance, but they promised not to attack each other. And I think they were both planning on taking Poland. Okay. In other words, it was kind of a, whether it was spoken or unspoken, Germany was going to take the western part of Poland, and the Soviet Union was going to take the eastern part of Poland. See, Poland only became a nation again after World War I. They hadn't been a nation in like 113 years. They were always dominated either by the Germans or by the Russians.
Okay, so after World War I, when that basically, like you say, treaty situation took place, that's actually when they got their sovereignty back. That's when it actually Correct. Took place.
Yes, they weren't even a nation before Wow. World War I.
Did not know that.
There's an awful lot of, and there's an awful lot of other ethnic groups. They're just ethnic groups within Europe that we don't quite understand. Let me put it this way. When a person comes to the United States of America, whether they're from Mexico or Spain or England, hey, they take an oath that they are going to forswear any alliance to any other country or foreign potentate. You're an American now. The people who founded this country understood you got to be American. In Europe, you have all sorts of pockets of different ethnic groups within nations that really want their own country. That is so true all over Europe. Different groups want their own country. I mean, it's even true in Great Britain. I mean, there's a segment of the Scots, that want complete independence from the United Kingdom. They don't want anything. They don't view themselves as, even as British, let alone English. England is just the largest section of Great Britain. Don't confuse British and English. They're different. Then you've got Wales, and you've got Northern Ireland, then you got Scotland. And they view themselves, you know, it's kind of separate. But it is what it is. The United Kingdom is, quote, the United Kingdom. It is what it is. But that's true all over Europe. And we Americans, and I'm the history teacher, I mean, I'm learning more and more. The more I read on that wall, look at all these. And we go back to the Ukraine-Russian thing. The Russians, a lot of the Russians, and Putin professes it, I guess he truly believes it, that Ukraine belongs to Russia, that the Ukrainians are just a section of Russia. And he would basically say at one time, Kiev there was the center of the Russian civilization. And we want to restore all those parts of those sections of Russia that have drifted away. And Ukraine is one of them. Same with the Crimean section. I mean, they think that that's just Russia. And there's a lot of Russians that believe that. Not all Russians. Now, by the way, there's some Ukrainians, a minority for sure, but there's some Ukrainians that want to be a part of Russia. That's now the majority. I think it's safe to say the vast majority of Ukrainians view themselves as Ukrainians, and they want to be independent. Whatever you think of that war, you got to give them credit. They're fighting, and they're a lot dying, but they're not giving up because they view themselves as Ukrainian, not Russian. But these are very old, centuries old arguments that they have, centuries old. And the only thing I would say we have similar in the United States right now is sometimes you'll see a bumper sticker that'll say, you're on Indian land. And there's different Native Americans who want to restore, you know, Indian lands to the, or Native American lands to the Native Americans. I mean, but there's such a small minority, and we know that's not going to happen. But that's true all over Europe. I mean, they speak so many different languages, and all these different groups were aligned with each other. And then something I haven't even mentioned yet, remember this too, that you had Serbia was aligned with Russia, but then you had the Austrians, who were predominantly Roman Catholic, and the Serbians and Russians were Greek or Russian Orthodox, and there was a religious component to that. And there still is in that section of Europe, the old Yugoslavia. I mean, some of those countries are Muslim. Some of them are Greek Orthodox, and some of them are Roman Catholic. And there's some old things going on. You say, well, Pastor Jeff, would people fight over that? Oh, yes. Look at medieval history. There were lots of wars between one of the components in all the wars between Great Britain and France was Great Britain had become a Protestant nation, a majority Protestant nation, and France was Roman Catholic. And that added to the tensions. I'm not saying that was the whole thing, but there were there have been religious wars going on for a long time, just among the major sects of Christianity, let alone Muslim, Christian. Before, go way back to 732 when Charles Martel stopped the Muslims in the Battle of... oh boy, just slipped my mind. It was there in Spain where the Muslims were marching through Europe. Moors, I think it is. Anyway, no, that's not it. Forgive me. But there was a major battle there. And there was a battle between Christian, so-called Europe, and the Muslims. I mean, that's just history. There were a lot of religious wars throughout the Middle Ages. And that was the big issue on the Crusades, why the Crusaders were going to go back and take back the Holy Land from Muslims.
That goes back all the way to even like the Knight Templars and what was involved with the Catholic Church and them asking the Knight Templars to defend much of Europe over the Muslims taking over those areas. I mean, that goes back centuries.
Yes, and then later, when you had the Protestant Reformation, then the Roman Catholics had what was called the Counter-Reformation, and there were wars between Roman Catholics and Protestants. It used to be back in, and this was not America, no way. That's why we have the First Amendment. Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion. We don't have an established church, never have, don't want one. But in Europe... it was kind of thought this way. If the king was Roman Catholic, you're Roman Catholic. If the king is Protestant Christian, you're Protestant Christian. You don't like it, leave. They thought that's the only way a country could survive.
Now, we had to follow the king's leadership when it came to religion, absolutely.
Right. Now, we proved it doesn't have to be that way. We've never had a religious war in America. It's not been about religion. We had a civil war, but it wasn't over this. Okay. And we set that aside. Yes, we believe in, I would call ourselves a Christian nation, but not Protestant, not Baptist, not Catholic.
Very interesting, very interesting. Final segment wrapping up all this. Right after a word from our sponsors, we'll be right back.
Hey everybody, it's Trucker Randy, the Yo-Yo Diet King. I have literally lost hundreds of pounds in my life. Slim Fast in the 90s, Nutrisystem in 2000, South Beach, Superfoods, they all worked in the short term, only to gain it all back, plus some. Now that I'm 65, I really wanted to find a program that would increase my metabolism to burn my belly fat, bring my hormones back to my younger days without any exercising. Then I met Missy of MyPure Health Solutions. She explained how her program does exactly what I was looking for. Go to TruckerRandyHealth.com. Follow my journey with Missy and see that I dropped 22 pounds of body fat in the first 14 days without exercising and eating real foods. Again, go to TruckerRandyHealth.com and schedule a free consultation or call Missy at 269-964-4044. Let Missy change your metabolism just like she's changed mine. Do it today.
Smith and of Petoskey wants to ask you a question. Have you exercised your Second Amendment rights lately? Well, if you haven't, get on over to Curtis Gunsmith and Petoskey and talk to the old gun doctor about purchasing your next firearm, whether that be a concealed carry firearm or maybe an AR-15, perhaps an AK-47, or even just an old lever action. The gun doctor also works on every kind of firearm, except maybe an Abrams tank. So you know your baby's in good hands. Curtis Gunsmith. Call 231-838-5571.
Life is a wonderful journey, from fresh beginnings and future adventures to all the best life has to offer. Along this incredible journey, you want to safeguard what's most important to you. Hi, I'm Tristan Cole, your local Farm Bureau insurance agent, and I'm always nearby to help protect you and your loved ones along the way. Let's talk about your journey and protecting what matters most. Call me at 231-533-6489 or visit me online at TristanCole.com. We're Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.
You have pain in your back, neck, shoulders, hip, knees, wrists, or feet? Dr. Gary Willey's Chiropractic Services in Sheboygan has a robotic laser treatment for you. This technology takes away pain, inflammation, and promotes healing. Experience robotic laser pain relief at a special new customer price. Call us for fast relief Monday through Wednesday to learn more and to schedule an appointment at 231-627-4300. Again, 231-627-4300.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. I support this show, and I would like to offer you our biggest discounts for listening. So please go to our website, MyPillow.com, and put in the promo code at the end of this message to get the biggest discounts. Again, thanks for listening, and God bless.
Thanks, Mike. Folks, go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code TRUCKERRANDY, or call 800-654-9659.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. Final segment of our discussion with Pastor Chatfield. Couple of text messages. War is inevitable. We are probably destined to do it again. If you had to guess, based on foreign policy and things happening around the world right now, under Donald Trump's presidency, if we were forced into a war, what war do you think it would be? I personally think it's going to have something to do with China and dealing with Taiwan and possibly us not having a good economic relationship with China. If it at all possible would happen, I think that would be the number one possible problem in the world we would have is with China. Do you concur with that assessment, Pastor Chatfield?
It might be true. It might be something in the Middle East. By the way, first, hey, Tom sent me a text. The Battle of Tours, 732, Charles Martel stops the Moors, the Muslims, in the Battle of Tours. Thank you. I couldn't remember the name of that battle, 732. Yep. That's just only a little over 100 years after the Muslim religion came into existence, but they believe in spreading their faith via the sword. But anyway, only God knows. When President Trump decided to take out the Iranian nuclear capability, that lessened the likelihood of us ever getting drawn into a major war. That lessened the likelihood. Doesn't mean it eliminated it. But if Iran was allowed to have a nuclear weapon, they were going to use it. It is a part of their theology as extreme Shia Muslims, and they have a theology about the Messiah and so on, and there has to be a big war coming. If you want an interesting read, I don't believe it, but if they would have been allowed to get a nuclear weapon, they would have used it. And then what would have happened? Israel would have defended themselves all out.
Sure.
And then what would have happened? Who knows?
Yeah.
So by them, now Israel has never admitted having nuclear weapons, but they have never used it. Everybody believes they have them, but they haven't used them. So it was an act of keeping the peace. Randy, I just don't know where the next war will be. You very well could be right.
Yeah.
What if Russia continues to lose or be drawn into a stalemate with Ukraine and they attack a NATO country? Then what do we do? We're obligated by treaty to help. Then what would happen?
Yeah, so the entire NATO alliance would be forced into a situation to unite and fight against Russia. I don't think Russia wants to take on the world. I don't think they have the capabilities to take on NATO and all of us. That's my opinion.
And let me say this. if Russia thinks, and these are all calculations that I don't think Putin's out of his mind. He's just a strong man, kind of a tyrant. He is.
Sure. Yeah.
But if he thinks we are going to go after him full force, if he attacks a NATO nation, he probably won't attack a NATO nation. But if we waffle and show weakness, that changes his calculation. Maybe right. He might go after him. When he invaded Ukraine, this is my opinion, you can take it or leave it. I think he knew that President Biden would just, you know, he was just kind of weak. He wasn't going to do anything. And by the way, he was right, wasn't he? He was
sure.
Right. We didn't do much. So that was that weakness invites war. Now strength pushes against war, but you can go too far with that too. So you've got to, I mean, these are nuances here. You've got to, I mean, it's interesting to me, and during World War II, Hitler did not have a high opinion of the United States. He did not have, which is ridiculous. He was terribly wrong about that. After Japan bombed the United States, Pearl Harbor, Hitler says, "All great nations declare war." And he took all doubt away from us, whether we were going to declare war on Germany. Because there had been an argument in the United States, look, Japan attacked us, let's go after Japan. Let's not go get into the European theater of World War II. But I think we would have anyway, truly. But he removed any doubt by declaring war on us. He misread things. He misread the American character. And God only knows all the answer to these things. I'm just trying to do history lessons. When I look at World War I, and the more I look at European history, the more I see, wow, there are a lot of complicated things here. A lot of things that... The deeper you dig, the more complicated it seems to get. But the United States is still the envy of the world. We have, as divided as a country as we are, we're still not as divided as a lot of European countries. As divided as we are, and we are divided. But God bless America. There you go.
Yeah, I don't know what else absolutely. To tell you. Well, again, you know, history repeats itself if you don't know it. And you have to look at the history and be able to at least be in a position to anticipate so that it doesn't repeat itself. But at the same time, you know, President Trump hates wars. You know, he doesn't want to go to war.
He doesn't want to. But if you push us, he will. And our adversaries have got to understand that. And I think they do. I hope they do.
Yeah.
And by the way, here's a good saying. History doesn't repeat itself, but it rhymes. Circumstances are a little bit different now, obviously, than they were. And there are a lot of other factors, but history rhymes. You can look at history and say, wow, I can see this is somewhat similar to what's going on today in geopolitics.
Absolutely. Great information today. Thank you, sir. We'll see you on the radio 11 to noon on Sunday. We appreciate you very much, and God bless. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Rod. You too.
Final hour of today's show. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to Your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop.
A book by Rick Randall, Road Trip, the Good Words book for success. Good words that both young and old alike need to add to their vocabulary to impact their thoughts, emotions, behavior, and ultimately their reality in life. Road Trip's Good Words, positive thinking, and daily pep talk will improve your attitude, impress everyone you come in contact with, and lead to a better, happier, more fulfilling life. Get your copy at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. Pass the positive. Road Trip, the Good Words book by Rick Randall.
LegendarySystems.net now offers affordable remote tech support for your computer, the same service that large companies have been using for years.